All right, let's take our Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. I thank you, church, for all the meals and the good place to stay. It's a blessing. If you don't like the preaching here, you could at least stay for the food. That's good. I mean, it's been mentioned two or three times, and I thought why they were saying that, you know, just pulpit flattery, but it's more than that. You eat here yet? Brother Lockhart. I can't wait till this morning, this service is over where we meet. All right, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 22. Bible's one verse, if you like to stand, we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 22. Bible said, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you'd help me. I pray, God, that you'd help me to be your man, say everything you want me to say. And, God, I pray that I feel your presence, Lord, while I preach. And I pray, God, to help these people not preach to perform or impress, God, but to help your people and, God, to please you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You can be seated. Well, Hebrews 11. It's known by Bible students as the chapter of faith. Everybody knows that. And it's or the hall of faith. Many refer to it as that. The people mentioned in this chapter are some of the great heroes of the faith. And what happens in this chapter, it does not give a biography of their life, but it just summarizes a portion of their life. Not really, really all it does is highlight their finest moment of faith, the best that they ever did. And you look at it here in verse number 4, talks about by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Then in verse number 5, it talks about Enoch and his faith and how that he was translated that he should not see death. You can't improve upon that. Amen. I mean, Enoch was not going to be able to do any better than that. The Bible said in Genesis that he walked with God and said he was not, for the Lord took him. We know Russia has their cosmonauts and America has their astronauts, but God had a was not, and the Lord took him. And the Bible said there in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that word diligent there means a constant effort. So he said, if you put forth a constant effort, he will reward you. That's a blessing, ain't it? And if you seek him with all of your heart, you shall find him. Then verse number 7 deals with the faith of Noah. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And then it said, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So God gave him 120 years to prepare an ark for the saving of his house, and by the which he condemned the world. And so that was part of his job, not only to save his house, but also to condemn the world. And I'm reminded what Ezekiel said in chapter 2, verse 5. He said, whether they hear or whether they forbear, they shall know that there was a prophet among them. And so that's what you should do in this community. Whether they hear, you should go and you should tell. But whether they hear or whether they forbear, well, I mean, their response is up to them. But they need to know that there's a New Testament church among them. And so Noah did that by faith. Goes on to talk about the faith of Abraham in verse number 8 and how that he sojourned, talked about how that he sojourned in the land of promise. And he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Goes on to talk about his wife's faith and some more about the faith of Abraham in verse 17. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So it deals with the faith of Abraham. Then verse 20 deals with the faith of Isaac. And then in verse 21 it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now he got a hold of that real good when he wrestled with the Lord at Peniel, right? And the Bible said there the sun rose upon him. It had set at Bethel. And that's where he met the Lord. And it was in a hard place, a place called Luz. And the Bible said there the sun set on him. But when he got to Peniel, the sun rose upon him. And I'm glad there is a brighter day coming. And it is there where he got a hold of God. It's one thing for God to get a hold of a man, but it's another thing when a man gets a hold of God. And that's how it is. Whether you touch God or he touches you, the results are the same. And he told the Lord, he said, I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. And the Bible said that the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh and the sinew shrank. And I imagine from that point on, he had to lean on that staff. He probably carried that staff all of his life because he was a shepherd. But from that point on, after he had wrestled with the Lord and give everything to God, he at that day learned to lean on God. And it was good enough to live with, and it was good enough to die with, because when he was dying, the Bible said by faith he worshiped leaning upon the top of the staff. Then in verse 22, it talks about the faith of Joseph. That's what I want to preach about. And as a new Christian, reading through your Bible, you've already read the book of Genesis. You read the life story of Joseph. Now you've come to Hebrews and you're reading where it's highlighting their finest moment, where it's emphasizing the best that they ever have did for God by faith. And then you read verse 22, by faith, Joseph. And if you stop right there, you think, my, I mean, you would get excited. What's it going to write about? Because in Genesis, you have from Genesis 37 through Genesis 50, you have one parenthetical chapter, but all of them chapters, 13 chapters, about the life of Joseph. And I mean, he does some great things. You could, I mean, here in the Hall of Faith, you could write about the time when he was in the pit and there was no water, and it was the Bible talked about the anguish of his soul, how he stayed true to God. Or you could write about, I mean, the Holy Ghost would have been justified in writing about the time when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife tried to lay with him and he run out of his coat, you know the story, and he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was a pretty good time, wasn't it? I mean, he stood with God. And it didn't matter if the doors were shut. And it didn't matter if the lights were off. Hey, man, and nobody was going to see it. He knew God was looking down, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God said, can any man hide himself in secret places? I cannot see him, said the Lord. And so he got out of there. What about 13 years? 13 years in prison? And he stayed with God, never wobbled on an axle. Surely he picked something out of them 13 years to write about here in this chapter. What about when he finally got to the palace and all the riches and the wealth of Egypt could not shake him? And he had that son, Manasseh, and he said, God has made me forget my toil. And what about having Ephraim? Right about when he had Ephraim, said, God has made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. All of these things you could point out. So I got excited when I read through my Bible the first time as a new Christian. By faith, Joseph, what's he going to say? And I read, and we read in our scripture text. It didn't write about the time he's in the pit, time he's in Potiphar's house, time he was in prison or in the palace, but it wrote about his bones. He said he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. I mean, I don't understand it, but we know the Holy Ghost is never wrong. I mean, he's never wrong. And I understand the context. I understand in Genesis 50, he gave commandment. He was telling his brothers, he said, hey, when you come up out of Egypt, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Make sure you carry my bones with you, for I want to be buried in Canaan's land. Amen. I understand that. Me and Brother Vic was talking yesterday about a fella that fought in the Civil War, Ferguson, he studies history. I study that history. We was talking about a fellow, Champ Ferguson. He's from White County, Tennessee. He was a guerrilla fighter and never enlisted, and one of the only men to be executed after the war. And they hung him in Nashville, and they gave him, a chance to give a final request. And in his defense, he could not say, I was following orders. He couldn't say that because he was a guerrilla fighter. So they hung him, and they said, "What's your last request?" He said, "My last request is this: after my death, that you would carry my body back to White County, Tennessee, and bury my body in good rebel soil." Amen. So that's what Joseph was saying about his bones. Amen. Now, I think there's got to be a reason why the Holy Ghost picked this above every other. From Genesis 37, Genesis 50, why the Holy Ghost pointed this out and would talk about his bone. It may be that Joseph's faith, by faith Joseph, it might be that Joseph's faith had run so deep past his heart it even got into his bones. Now, I understand that. You see, I'm Scottish descent. On my daddy's side, my great uncle, he studied it for years, traveled to Scotland. He has put together our family tree, and they roll it out, and we can look at it. What palace we come from, and how my forefathers marched with William Wallace. And so if you say William Wallace around me, if I got my hat all on, I'll take it off and give tribute. I mean, that's in me. You can't get that out of me. That's in me. It's in my blood. And I can shave on one side of a chicken house and walk through the chicken house. And when I get to the other side of the chicken house, I need to shave again. That's that Scottish blood, right? That's it. And so I'm not only Scottish, but I'm a Tennessean. I was born in Tennessee. Y'all had that, they said seafood gumbo. I don't know what that is. But I ate it. It was pretty good. Hey man, I've never ate that before. We don't have that in Tennessee. See, it's in my blood. I'm a Southerner. Now I preach against country music, but I will whistle to Dixie. Amen. Or I will, if you'll sing Rocky Top, I'll hum along with you. Amen. I mean, it's in me. It's in me. That's in me. You can't get that out of me. And I'm a Baptist. Now, I'm not like some of y'all. Y'all were freeborn, and I envy y'all. I wish I was raised in a Baptist church. I wouldn't. When I was 18 years old, I went into church probably the third time in my life, 18 years old. Got under conviction, went a few services, ended up getting born again. Amen. And didn't join the right kind of church. But we fought hell by the acre and eventually got everything straightened out in our doctrine. Amen. And we left that and joined Independent Baptist Church. And so y'all are freeborn, but a great sum I've attained this freedom. But it's got in my bones. And so everybody's taking it off the sign. They're trying to recover from this and recover from that. I ain't trying to recover. Amen. I'm an independent fundamentalist. Amen. I'm trying to get deeper into it. I want it to get deeper and deeper and on past my heart and get in. It is in my bones. Amen. So we're talking about having faith to the bone. It starts in your mind. Faith starts in your mind. Now, that does not save you, but intellectual faith, that's where it's got to start. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 14, he said, how shall they, well, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. How shall they, amen, believe in him whom not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And verse 17 said, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so it started in my mind. I heard preaching, amen, and I believed it in my mind. I heard it from a preacher. I heard it from the church. The Bible said in Ephesians 22, verse 17, that's the last invitation in the word of God. It said the Spirit and the bride say come. They both got to say it. Amen. From the bride, you get the information, and from the Spirit, you get an invitation. That small voice on the inside gives you an invitation, amen, to be saved. But before I could ever get an invitation from the Holy Ghost, I got the information from the church, right? Intellectually, I believe. Didn't save me. I'm still going to hell. But that's where it started. Amen. And you say, well, you know, does repentance save you? You can't get saved without it. Amen. You got to repent. Be willing to turn from your sin. He testified both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The old preacher said, he said, God will save anybody that's savable. That's right. And you, when you repent, you get savable. Amen. Right? We're saved through faith, but repentance is what brings you to faith. If you're not willing to turn from your sin, you're not willing to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it starts in the mind, and then it goes to the heart, and that's saving faith. Amen. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. In Romans 10, verse 9, thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Oh, Philip joined himself to that Ethiopian chariot, and he was reading Isaiah, and he said, understand what thou readest. He said, how can I except some man guide me? Amen. And he stopped the chariot, and after Philip had preached, he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Amen. And so that's saving faith. That gets you forgiveness. That gets you eternal life. There, at that point, you're indwelt with the Holy Ghost and you have a place in heaven. But I do believe that after you're saved, amen, that it can get deeper and deeper and go on past your heart, and it can get into your bones. We talk about being indwelt with the Holy Ghost, but what about being filled with the Holy Ghost? In Ephesians 5:17, he said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. It can't get in your bones. When cancer gets into your bones, it's serious. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Amen. Ain't that right? Job in chapter 20, verse 11 said, his bones are full of sin, the sin of his youth. If your bones can be full of sin, then the contrast to that is it can be full of faith. Proverbs 16 talks about it in your bones, health to your bone. Faith to the bone, not a natural man, not a carnal man, but a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. God has access to every area of your life. You love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. It's in your bone. There's no place to go back to. You've burned every bridge, amen. You've sunk every ship. There's nothing to go back to. You're in this thing. Everybody else can quit, but you can't quit because it's too deep in your soul, amen. It's done got into your bones. You're Christ-like. You're a Christian. You're like Christ, not entitled only, but also in experience. You've been born from above. Amen. And it's there you set your affections. You're like Christ in your dress. You're like Christ with your deeds. Amen. You're like Jesus in your devotion. Amen. And your conversation is filled with the Scripture. When you go to a gas station to pump gas, you don't feel right unless you put a track on every gas pump. You go door to door witnessing, amen, knocking on doors. You give your tithe to the church and you give to mission. The Bible said that the tithe is the Lord's, so you're really not giving when you give your tithe. Amen, anything above the tithe is given. I mean, you give to worldwide missions, and when you're called upon at a family reunion to pray, instead you preach. Amen. You will pray when called upon in public, but most of your praying's done in private. It's in your bones. It's got that deep. You're too far gone. Amen. You've sold out your old life. You've died to yourself. Amen. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You've done away with that. Amen. Anything that would displease God, you've got it out of your life. You'll come to Bible conferences on Wednesday in the morning. You'll get up early and be here at 10 o'clock for a Bible conference. Amen. It's in your bones. Amen. It's faith that's got that deep. God help us. Now, Joseph had that. It spoke about it here. Now, how did he get it? Let me hurry up. Talks about by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. How did he get faith that deep? Amen. How did it become that real in his life? First of all, you've got to have, like Joseph, the right mentors. Joseph had the right mentors. His father was Jacob, and his grandpappy, amen, was Isaac, and his great-grandpa was, he was keeping good company, wasn't he? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we know that Isaac died in Genesis 35. And we understand that. But when you study your Bible there, Joseph was already a pretty good-sized boy. He was old enough when he met Esau to bow. Right? I mean, I don't know how old he was, but he could understand. And Isaac is still in his life. And, I mean, just think about how it would have been at the house. And they're all sitting around eating a meal. And he said, hey, Grandpappy, why don't you tell me about that time when you went up to Mount Moriah? He said, well, I understand it now, and I've heard it before. The way I understand it is, y'all had the wood and you had the fire, but you didn't have no lamb. And Isaac said, that's right, boy. He said, we went up there, and I looked around. There wasn't no lamb. And I asked the great-grandpappy, I said, where is the lamb? You know what he told me? He said, God will provide himself. He said, now, Joseph, best I can figure is, amen, God is going to come down and be manifest in the flesh one day. Amen. And he's going to give himself as a substitutional sacrifice. He said, I understood it better. He said, oh, Abraham was coming down, your great-grandpappy. He said, he was committed. He was coming down with that knife, and it looks like it was over for me. Amen. He said, but there's an angel spoke and said, do the lad no harm. And he said, we looked at about the same time. And he said, there's a ram caught in the thicket. He said, best I could figure while we was coming up this side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side of the mountain. And he said, oh, Abraham went over there, got that lamb and offered him instead of me. And he said, I heard him what he called the place. He called it Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God has provided. He said, all I can think and figure out, one day, amen, the Lamb of God is going to take away the sins of the world. No, little snot-nosed boys sitting there taking that in. They might be coloring in the coloring books. You might have to pull them out from under the pew. Amen. But they're taking it in. They're taking it in. And you just let it one day to get in their heart, they'll be saved. Amen. If you keep them around this old time way, keep them right around the right men, right people, amen, the right families, right fellowship, it'll get in their bones. Amen. You won't have to worry about them backsliding. How we talk about backsliding, they probably ain't never slid forward. It gets as deep as this. In some of these folks around here, you ain't got to worry about backsliding, backing up on God. It's too deep. It's too real. Amen. In their heart and in their soul. That's what we need to get. You know, our problem is a heart problem. A lot of folks ain't been saved, and then they just want to stop right there and become carnal. Amen. Saved folk. They want to claim, amen, to be saved, live like the world. You know what's helped us? Being around the right people. I couldn't do this by myself. You think, I hope that, amen, I hope that now, in this point of my Christianity, I could walk alone, but I couldn't have got here by myself. I understand we need to learn to walk alone, but there's going to be a point in your Christian life as a young Christian. Hey man, you're going to be around the right people. That's the reason why you need to be around the right church. Be a part of the right church. Have the right mentors. Amen. I'm glad we have some people. Amen. First time I heard Brother Sammy Allen, he was preaching at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Brother Lockhart, pastor, he's my pastor. That's where I come from. I heard Brother Sammy Allen preach 2 weeks, and it seemed like he preached every night on being filled with the Spirit. That's all I heard. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit. And I remember one night following him out to the car, and back then he'd carry 3 or 4 King James Bibles, you know. He wouldn't open none of them. He'd just quote it, you know. Stand and turn to Luke 16, quote the whole, all the verses. But I seen him carrying them 3 Bibles, and I thought, man, I bet them's full of notes. Back then he had some Bibles, he'd give them all away before he died. But back then he had some Bibles with notes in it. And I said, oh boy, I'd like to take him home. And he looked at me, and I didn't even say it. He must have read my mind. He said, hey son, take these Bibles home. He said, bring them back tomorrow night. I said, I will. I'll bring him back tomorrow night. He said, I won't even have to take a baby aspirin worrying about whether or not you're going to bring these Bibles back tomorrow night. And so I went home, stayed up all night transferring notes. And I sat there in that pew, and I mean, as a young preacher, there's 9 preachers, I believe, in that church at the time. I mean, if you're a pastor, you can't keep them all busy. We was trying to preach on the street. We was trying to go out on visitation. Amen. Was doing that. But you just ain't going to be preaching everybody's revival. I mean, if you're sitting around waiting on the phone to ring, you're going to be waiting a long time. You ain't figured that out yet. What you're going to do is find somebody to preach to. You can take this Bible, amen, on somebody's porch step and preach the gospel to them. I mean, it's a world of lost sinners. Oh, they won't give you no love offering. Amen. And they're not going to pat you on the back and brag on your... But I'll tell you, when you get to heaven, you'll be as far as you want to be in the judgment seat. You'll have a crown as big as a hubcap. Right? I mean, there's plenty to preach to. No, Brother Sammy, he'd come in our house sitting there discouraged. He put his arm around me, and I never will forget it. He said, that donkey that Jesus rode, I said, yes, sir. He said, he was tied up, wouldn't he? I said, yes, sir. He said, he wasn't running wild with the other donkeys and the horses and free ranging. I said, no, sir. He said, he was tied up, wouldn't he? I said, yes, sir. He said, just stay tied up. And as he was walking off, you know what he said? He said, come time the Lord have need of you. So just stay tied up. Amen. I didn't know who Billy Mitchell was, and it was a deacon, actually. He gave me back in a lot of cassette tapes he had and CDs, and I didn't know Billy Mitchell, but I got to know him. And if you sat and listened to them, men, I mean, I don't want to go on YouTube and listen. I got plenty to listen to. Amen. They trying to come up with this new prophecy stuff. They want to talk about new IFB. I just want to stay with the old way. Amen. Come up with something new. That ain't what Sammy Allen preached. If Brother Sammy was here, he'd quote 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He'd quote 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And he'd say them 2 verses clearly teach we're not going through 1 second of Daniel 7. And if Steny Ballou was here, he'd say, as Enoch was raptured before the flood. Right? And as Elijah was raptured before the fall. I can't do it too good, but that's what he'd say. It's the same words. He said, we're not the church. He said, the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation. And then 2 or 3 people on YouTube won't try to change that. Oh, no. We got the right mentors. You're not going to get that out of us. Amen. You're not going to get that old doctrine in that way. Amen. It's built this move. It is a move of God. Because it's in our bones. The misgivings of his life put faith in his bone. We talked about the pit. We talked a little bit about Potiphar's house and the 13 years in prison. Psalms 105 verse 18, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. It ain't always going to be smooth sailing. Amen. There's going to be some misgivings. Sometimes, the songwriter said, when misgivings darken the way. And faith light, I cannot see. There'll be times, amen, the families are leaving the church. There'll be times of darkness and it'll rip your guts out. And you'll be hurt, amen. There'll be tragedy come in your life. And the phone will ring and it'll change your world. And they'll be crying on the other end of the phone call and they'll say, they didn't make it. Or the doctor's going to walk in and diagnose you. And you're going to think your world's coming apart. And no doubt, Joseph, he couldn't understand it, why he's sitting in prison cell. Amen. But it wasn't that God was taking something from him. It was God was putting something in him. God was driving it deeper. God was driving it deeper. Amen. He's getting him ready for Egypt. Getting him ready for the palace. Amen. There'll be some misgiving, some suffering. Got to have the right method. That's the right behavior, the right way of doing things. No doubt he was a praying man. God communicated with him. You can see that with his dreams. No doubt he was a man that lived right. He brought back his brother's evil report. He's a praying man. The psalmist said, Psalms 55, verse 17, evening and morning and noon will I pray. But we can't stop there. The psalmist said in Psalm 66, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. Psalms 24, verse 3, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and pure heart. Amen. Prayer, whosoever, and 1 John 3, 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When God saved you, where he starts immediately on His thing, subject of separation, He starts on your appearance. How do you know that? That's where He started with me. Amen. He starts with your appearance. That's where He started with me. That's where He started with my wife. We weren't raised in church and just got in, got sitting under preaching, and immediately the Holy Ghost began to deal with us. My wife, and I tell this on her all the time, she's got used to it. And I remember, we hadn't been saved but just a few months, and we still had our old wardrobe. She was sitting in the car at the gas station, and one of the ladies from church started walking toward her, and she said, hey, don't come any closer. Don't come over here. Why? She said, my wife said, because I'm in shorts. There's a difference. We wore them shorts when it was lost. It didn't bother us. But something changed on the inside. And I remember coming home. It wasn't too long after that. She threw the shorts away. But I remember coming home, and I met her at the door. I come home from work. She's weeping and crying. She said, God told me I can't wear pants anymore. God told me that. Now, I'm not talking about just wearing a dress to church. I'm talking about dressing like a woman, dressing like a lady all the time. She said, that's what God said. And I know women are going to struggle with that. But if God puts it in there, you'll do all right with it. And so she cleaned out, and I was cleaning out, and we were throwing stuff away. So you got to have the right method. And I know with that you have the right attitude. Amen. And I know it's a struggle. But if you've got, and Joseph had, he had the right method, but also he had the right kind of messages. You say, I don't know if there's any preaching. Well, God said, he's talking about Abraham. He said, I know him. He will command his children, his children's children. When I got saved, I got around the right messages. I didn't know big wood from brush. I was confused. I was wet behind the ears. I didn't know if I'd found a horse or lost a rope. Or found a rope or lost a horse. I didn't know. I just didn't know. We sat down, and the man of God, he got to preaching. He got on this. He said, you got a tithe. I'd never heard that word. I didn't know what tithing was. And he got to preaching. He said, he asked a question. Said, will a man rob God? He quoted that verse. He said, God said, you have robbed me. And tithes and offering. I said, well, I better start doing that. He said, if you got $10, you bring one. If you got $100, you bring 10. If you got 1,000, you bring 100. 10%. I said, well, we better start doing that. Right kind of message here. Then I'd go on Sunday morning, but I wouldn't go back Sunday night or Wednesday night. Just Sunday morning is good enough. We went in there, and he got to preaching. He quoted Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling yourselves together. He said, that's not a suggestion. He said, that is a command of God. He said, you come to church Sunday morning because you love the church. He said, you come to church Sunday night because you love the preacher. He said, but you'll come to church Wednesday because you love the Lord Jesus. He said, if I had a salvation wouldn't get me back to church on Wednesday night, he said, I wouldn't trust that salvation, amen, to get me to heaven when I die. I said, well, we better start going on Sunday night and Wednesday. Man, we better start. I had all them channels on my TV. And we just watching everything. I mean, you watch Jed Clampett and then this Victoria's Secret commercial. Right? Little house on the prairie, then you're going to see a little in the commercial a little more than you bargained for. And he said, you know, I got a hold of preaching like that. And they used to preach against TV. They quit that. We about got a bigger problem. It's a cell phone. 95% of all sin committed by independent Baptists is committed while looking at a cell phone. I said 95%. Music, he got on that music. I had the apostle men on the way to church. And he was singing about white lightning, and that preacher said, well, he said, on that, he said, it's a sad song. He said, Bubba Order shot the jukebox. He said, all it is about losing your wife, all it is about drinking whiskey. He said, you can't get close to God. And listen to that. So we had to throw them away. Right? The right kind of message. Then he got the shining spotlight on me. You know, that was just, he was just preaching general. A lot of preachers do that, think they're preaching against sin. They don't never call nothing out. I mean, don't just tell me that I need to dress right, because I need to know how to. I need to know what length, right? I need to know how many buttons. Amen? Don't just tell me I need the right kind of haircut. Describe to me what the right kind of haircut looks like. Amen. I see some of these young boys, they come to my church. When they come in, I mention something about it every time. I said, do you ride the church with your head out the window? Amen. I mean, them old times, you say, well, you'll run them off. You can't run saved people off. They didn't run me and my wife. I didn't know you were supposed to get mad at the preacher and go to another church. I thought you were supposed to just line up with the preaching. Nishine, I had an old race car, and I was racing on the street. And they just shined a spotlight on me. He knowed I was there, and I was the only one street racing. He said, this bunch out here on the street, he said, what if the police catch you? What kind of testimony is that going to bring on the church? Right. Kind of reproach. I said, well, I have to sell the car. The right kind of message. Yeah, man. Amen. What about you getting it deep down in your heart and on past your heart and get into your bones? Yeah, what about somebody committing in this meeting, this Bible conference, to becoming a full-time soul winner? You say, well, I work on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we work at shift, but I'm off Thursday and Friday and Saturday, or maybe off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What about you just going full-time in 3 days? You don't have to move churches. There's no need to you sending missionaries out until you get this place full. You say, I'll do it when I get to Haiti. If you won't do it here, you're not going to do it when you get to Honduras. That's how they did in the old days. When they got their place full, then they sent some out. And if that fella won't show up for visitation, I wouldn't support him. Amen. What about you building up your home church and knocking on doors? You could do it. Just commit to it. If you commit to that, said, hey, I'll give 7 hours on Friday and 7 hours every or Thursday and Friday and Saturday, 3 days a week. I'll go at it full time. You just come to Winchester Calvary Baptist Church, we'll take you on for support. Operate right out of this. Is this Unity Baptist Church? You got a place to invite them. Give somebody for your preacher to preach to. Would it be somebody to commit to that? You say, I didn't know there's any such thing. Well, that's what we're all supposed to be doing. That is the ministry, right? What about a lady saying, hey, I'm going to commit to this ministry of praying. Now, we had Sister Shirley. She passed away in our church. But her ministry is a ministry of prayer. And I remember she said, I just added you to my list. She'd pray long. And there might be a woman in here say, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have me a prayer list, and I'm going to take time. Amen. Every day, and I'm going to live right. And I'm going to get to the place. I won't let it get so deep. I'm going to get to the place where God can't resist my prayers. I'm going to live so holy and so separated. I'm going to have my attitude and my spirit right. And I'm going to be long-suffering and patient with others. And I'm not going to be a Pharisee, but I'm going to be a good example. And I'm going to have a sweet spirit. And I'm going to have a separated life. And I'm going to commit myself to the ways of God. And I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And I like to get to the place where God can't resist my prayers. What about somebody here just taking on the job of having that spiritual gift of helps and saying, hey, we're going to keep this place kept up around here. Say, it needs to be kept. And y'all do a good job, but, I mean, I'm going to change light bulbs. I'm going to sweep. And I'm going to make sure everything's ready. And I don't want my pastor's wife ever having to clean. God forbid to catch the pastor sweeping the porch. I'll make sure he don't have to do that. I'll show up an hour and a half early, make sure everything's good and all the song books are lined up. Now, what would it, I mean, the only way you're going to get to the place where you'll do that, it's going to have to get deep inside of you. I mean, it's going to have to get deep. And I'm going to be a full-time Christian. You've heard the right kind of messages. You've heard, got the right mentors. Your problem is you're just not committed to it. The list goes on and on of things you could do. Right here at this church. Right here at your church. Faith to the bone. Do you have it? You say, well, I'm saved. I ain't questioning whether or not it's in your heart. My question is it in your bones? Amen. Come on.